19 of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. We didn't quite finish up chapter 9 last week. We're going to go ahead and cover verse 19 through 27, and then we'll jump into chapter 10, and we'll see if we get through chapter 10 or if we just get partway through. But at any rate, we'll start reading verse 19 through 27 of chapter 9. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we are an imperishable. So that I do not run aimlessly, I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. How does Paul use the different ways in which he could seek to remove barriers to the gospel? What did he just talk about here? I'm sorry, Dahlia. Okay, one with his freedom. How did he become, as all of the descriptions he's got here, a servant to all, become a Jew as a Jew, those under the law? How did he go about doing that? Any ideas? Got down at their level. Very well. Can we do that today? Sure. What's something that could hinder us, or if we're not careful, put us in the wrong light in doing that today? If we are to, let's say we're golfers, and we decide Sunday mornings when we're going to play golf. Do we need to go associate with that brother or sister because they're playing golf on Sunday morning and do it on Sunday morning? Not quite a good fit, is it? Not if we want to impart on them that we're a Christian. And where we need to be on Sunday morning is worshiping. Can we worship on the golf course? Not very easy. How do you think Paul went about this with, I mean, he mentions a number of different things that he did in order to be like them. But he makes the point at the end of that, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Can any of you let me back up again. Have any of you had instances where you were like Paul in trying to win someone, this is going to be a long morning if this didn't stop. Win someone to Christ by associating with them in their arena, if you will. Can you, Bobby?
I think that's the point he made when he said, I bring all things to all men by some means. And I think it's any work that you're going to do with somebody, you're going to have to trust. There's got to be a trust. And that trust can come when all is showing you, I'm not doing this for me.
Right. Right. They've got to understand that you care. Friendship evangelism. You ever heard that before? One of the missionaries that, when we were at 29th and Yale, that we supported was in Australia. And it's Kent Hartman, and he's at OC now because they're back in the States and have been for several years now. But his main emphasis in Australia was friendship evangelism. And it goes through what Bobby just described. If you become friends with that individual and you win their trust, then you've got a shot at teaching them. If, let's say, we'll go back to the golf course or to the fishing boat or wherever, whatever you've got in common with that individual, if they don't trust you, if you're not good friends with them, the idea of teaching them, you may be able to do it without that, but it's going to be a whole lot easier if they have your trust. It will be easier for them to understand, in most cases at least, what you're trying to teach. If you hit them with it right off the bat, say you played golf with them and this is the first time you've ever played golf with them. You happen to meet with them as part of a foursome that you'd never met them before. You think they're going to listen to you about sitting down for a Bible study when you get through playing that round? Maybe. Maybe not. Likely not. Not here again. Not knowing backgrounds, not knowing how they think about things, whether they've ever studied the Bible, whether they've ever even opened the Bible. There's lots of things that enter into that, but once you have their trust, once they're comfortable with you, then it's going to be a whole lot easier for you to sit down and study with them. That's where Paul's at with this. Why he's saying, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. So if we have that same mindset today, we can still convert those around us. But we've got to go about it the right way. Let's see. Okay, let's start in the first 13 verses of chapter 10. This is warning against idolatry. We've talked about idolatry in several chapters up till now. He's still trying to get this across to the Corinthians. It was more than just prevalent. It was taking hold. Some of them had never come around to Paul's way of thinking. They were still worshiping idols, didn't think it was wrong for in their eyes at least. Starting in first verse of chapter 10, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. And what he's getting ready to go through here is going back during the time of Moses. All under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock Christ that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, "The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Most of us, probably all of us, particularly the last portion of that reading about being tempted, we've heard before, and like we read before and possibly studied before, more than likely have at some point. Why was Paul likening the things that happened during Moses leading them out of Egypt? Why was he bringing this all up to the Corinthians? Any of this apply to what they were doing? An example for us, the same as it was for them, holds true today. And if we go back and look at what happened, 23,000 fell in one day for sexual immorality. Get it all out in a minute. Some of them were destroyed by serpents. How about just those that were grumbling? Destroyed by the destroyer. All of these things are things that we see happening in the world today. We've seen it happening growing up. May have been in a little different fashion, some of it. Maybe it wasn't put out there in front, online, if you will, flaunted in front of everybody like it is today. A lot of it still took place. But today, my goodness. I wish and pray that we could get everyone to read this portion of this chapter and think about it. I mean, we can read it, but if we don't think about it and apply it, God can be merciful. He can also be very strict about what we need to do as Christians. How many of us have had temptations that we've thought about later, whether we went ahead and did something or not? But after we were through, did we think about what we had done and why? And what were going to be the circumstances in the end? There's things that I'm sad to say today that are commonplace in our society. Do they fit to some of the things that I just read about? Yes, they do. Idolatry, which we've talked about in every chapter up through chapter 10. What do we have as an idol as individuals? It may vary from individual to individual. Do we recognize that that's our idol? Is another issue. Where is our treasure? That's what Paul's trying to get across to these people in Corinth, that there's things that they continue to do that he's having trouble getting the point across. That's why he brings up what happened with Moses. Have any of us learned from the examples that we've covered so far, not just in chapter 9 and in the first part of 10, but the other things we've covered up to this point that Paul's trying to get across? I think most of us could realize that as many times as he's covered almost the same steps trying to convince them, particularly about idols, that something's pretty important in this. They're continuing to worship idols. They're continuing to be involved in sexual immorality. They're continuing to do a number of things that are strictly against Scripture, against God's teaching, and against Paul's teaching, for that matter, at this point. What else was he trying to get across to them? That one thing, that they realize that they're on God's timetable. They're not on their timetable. Does that fit us today? Sure it does. We are still on God's timetable. Do any of us know that we'll be here next Sunday? No. I hope and pray that we are, that we're able to still study Scripture. But we have no guarantee that when we walk out that door, somebody doesn't run over us with a car and that's it. Do we want to think about that? No, we don't. It's we're spoiled in this country. And some of you may be thinking, well, not exactly. Yeah, it is exactly. And if you've ever traveled to some of the other places, particularly some of the places our missionaries work, you realize it pretty quick that we are extremely blessed. And does that lead to some of our downfall? Bobby? Exactly.
And not only that, so I'm going to give you the direction book. They didn't have it in written form. He said, God's going to give you an understanding of how you can deal with that. But again, it's going to be a personal thing.
Yes. God's in control. It's the bottom line. Were they complacent that Bobby's talking about? Sure they were. Are we complacent today? More so than what we any of us want to realize, me included. Donnell?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They thought they knew it all, didn't they? They had plenty to eat. They had water or whatever to drink. You know, we think about manna. Well, they thought that they were tired of eating manna. So he gave them quail. Hey, if you get tired of eating quail, something wrong with you. But, you know, we fit in that same boat today, all of us. We need to, yes, sir. Wanting the word that bad. Come back. It is.
Everybody takes our assembly together for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to reconsider that, how important it is to come together. Because there are those around the world that do not have this privilege.
You're exactly right.
Hunger and thirst for it.
And thank you for the comments, particularly those in Africa, that, like you say, walk 8 hours just to assemble as a group and listen to the word. And if you cut it short, which is an hour, and that's too short for them, think about it here. You know, if you go over 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you go 30 minutes, ask David. If you went 45 minutes, let me ask you this. If he went 45 minutes this morning, how many of you would still sit here? Okay. You know, that's something we need to think about, really. Any place that, and it's not all places, I'm sure. Well, I'm not sure because I've not been to all places. But mission fields, and we've got a mission field right here. Most mission fields overseas are easier to teach because they are scrambling for the word. And that's a fact. If Americans thought the same way, just like those folks in Africa, or different parts of Africa, Zimbabwe, when we were at 29th, we supported preachers in Zimbabwe for a number of years, and I think they're still sending some degree of funds over there. At any rate, most of the Vanuatu, and we've been there, most of those people are hungry for the word. An hour don't bother them. And a lot of those countries, we get up Well, younger people get up with clocks. Us older people, it don't matter. If we wake up, we wake up. But there, a lot of those places, time means nothing to them. Unless they've got a job somewhere, and a lot of places they don't have. You know, they wake up when the sun comes up, and they go to bed when the sun goes down. So an hour or 2 hours in teaching, they don't think anything about it. In fact, they may be hungry for it, particularly if someone can sit down and study with them. But Paul's trying to get that across to the Corinthians. But a lot of what he's covering, needless to say, is the same things we're dealing with right here and now in this country. Some of us that are older, well, we wish some of those things that we grew up with were still in place. Do we want to stop things from getting better? No, we do not. Do we wish we had some of those older times back when media wasn't so prevalent? I'm the first one that'll vote for that. Electronics, are they great? Sure they are. They help us in a lot of ways, from medical issues to everything else. They're also very detrimental in that same light. You can only go so far before things go off the deep end. And I'm going to have to quit preaching and move on here. We're not going to get through the rest of this chapter either. Okay, let's start with verse 14, 14 through 22. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Are all of us sensible? We hope. Sometimes I wonder about myself, but the cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in... Is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, who are many. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are they not those who eat sacrifices, participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply what pagans sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Some of that's pretty self-explanatory. Here again, he's trying to get across the sacrifices, and we talked about that last week, about sacrificing the different meats to idols. They cook it. What they don't eat, they may sell in the village. They may share with someone else. He'll tell us in the next few verses about how that works and doesn't work, as far as the sacrifices and what we may or may not do as individuals if we partake in some of those things, and if we may have the right frame of mind for it, but how is it going to impact others, particularly those that were worshiping idols? And if those sacrifices had been made to those idols rather than to God. What draws Christians away from following God today? How many things do we have that draws Christians away from God today? Don't have enough time probably to even list them, do we? I mean, you can think about, well, you can start about anywhere you want to start. If you're not here in worship, whether it's this worship assembly or another worship assembly that of God's people, granted, we've got some that are out sick, and we understand that. Others that are shut-ins, that's not the people we're talking about, although they have the same issues that we have, maybe in a little different form. But
personal selfishness?
That would probably come somewhere up toward the top of the list. Do we have other things that would occupy our time rather than studying God's word sometimes? Do we feel guilty if we don't study? Do we make excuses to ourselves? I think most of us are guilty of that, if not all of us. Does that mean we've got to study God's word every hour of every day? No. But he does say, pray without ceasing. Does prayer work? You bet it does. And if you don't believe that it does, try it without it. What sorts of desires, we've talked about this a little bit earlier, led to Israel's downfall in the wilderness? Those things that we mentioned earlier. Are we guilty of, well, I don't like that. Why should I eat that? What about people in Africa? You think they complain about some of the things they eat? Chances are, in a lot of those cases, they're not complaining. They're just wanting something to eat, regardless of what it is. We throw away, I'm sadly, sad to say, in this country, more than what would feed most of Africa on a daily basis. We're a blessed people, and we need to understand that God knows that. You know, we're not hiding it from anyone. But if we use things to God's glory, sometimes sharing with others that we don't even think about may make a difference in one life, two lives, half a dozen lives. If we think that, well, I could use that somewhere else. Well, that might be true. But could that individual or that family use it better than we could? There's any number of ways that we can go down that road. Are all temptations common to all humans? Think about that a minute. Are all temptations common to all humans? Yes and no. Okay. There are things that tempt me and may not tempt you. How strong are we as Christians? Can we overcome those temptations? Sure. Is it easy? I kind of doubt it in some cases, maybe a lot of cases. But if we don't try, and he tells us, let's get back to where. Let's read some more verses here. I'm going to run out of time on us and talk about what I was getting ready to say. All things are lawful, starting in verse 23, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you, and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but for his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that which I gave thanks? So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Is he going to tempt us beyond what we're able to bear? Nope. Have we been in cases where we weren't sure that was the case? Most of us, one time or another. How did we handle it? Did we talk to God about it? Or did we bull up and think that, well, I can just bull my way right on through this. I'm tough. Really? Sometimes God gets us put back in our place. But he always gives us an out. Are we smart enough to take it and smart enough to learn from it? Are we smart enough to reach out to those that we may not know where they're at in their Christian walk, where they're at in their health, where they may be dealing with circumstances behind the scenes that we know nothing about? We see them walk in the foyer and they smile, good morning, everything's great. Is it? We need to think about what God tells us, what Paul has tried to get across to these Corinthians, about others and how we're to reach out to those to be able to teach them in whatever situation they're in. Can we help them? Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's a kind word. Sometimes it's, can I take you to lunch? There's any number of things that we can do as Christians, particularly to our Christian brothers and sisters. Not only them, because we need to reach out to those that are not. But in particular, we need to help those within the body of Christ. We're about out of time, and I thank everyone for their comments this morning. But we need to think about some of these same things that Paul's brought up to the Corinthians in our everyday lives. Can we change where we're at going forward? Sure. Do we want to? That's up to each individual. Do we want to remember? Well, as you get older, sometimes that's easier than not to forget. And Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We've got to have that trust, and we've got to remember, just like Donnell just explained, what's he done for us in the past? You know, we're in the present, but our past a lot of times makes a whole lot of difference on where we go in our future. So we need to remember those things that Paul's tried to get across, that Donnell just mentioned, that God's been good to us as a people. We need to remember that. Thank you all. We'll move on to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, next week.